Richard Wrangham, we were talking in the course of the last hour about males and females, and you alluded to how male and female humans develop the relationships which we have and how our anthropology, if you will, affects that. Would you carry that thought forward a little
further? Well, this is a fun area which anthropologists are playing with quite a lot at the moment. The traditional explanation is one that most people now find very unsatisfactory, and it is this, that at some time in our evolution, about 2 million years ago, men started hunting a lot more, bringing back meat, and women appreciated it and shared their plant foods with them, and there was a nice cooperative economy, and that's the basis of the pair bond. And there are all sorts of things wrong with this, among them being the fact that when you look at hunters and gatherers nowadays, you find that what men do with the meat is not so much to give it to their families, but to use it to get lovers. And there are many problems with that. So let me just plunge into what I think is a really exciting new explanation. And that is this, that we are used to thinking of cooking as being something that happened relatively recently. I mean, maybe 200,000 years ago, which is a little, you know...
Relatively recently.
Before last Tuesday, but...
but not much.
But not much, that's right. A group of us are thinking is that cooking happened right at the beginning, that we are the species that cooks. The reason that we changed from being these Australopithecine apes at around 2 million years ago into an early version of human almost overnight, where the whole human complex came in all of a sudden, is because a group of Australopithecines learnt how to cook. And once they learnt how to cook, there were huge nutritional effects. You can eat so much better that bodies got bigger and teeth got smaller and guts got smaller and brains got bigger and all of these things. And you ask yourself, if it didn't happen then, when did it happen? And there's no other time when you get anything like the strength of these nutritional signals. So I think there's good evidence that it happened then. And then you say to yourself, well, what's the effect? Well, here's the effect. Instead of just picking food off bushes and everyone feeding for themselves, now you've got a clump of roots that are waiting to be cooked, and you cook them, and they're sitting in one place for an hour. And this is the point at which a Charles Atlas figure can come up to another one and kick sand in the face and say, I'll take that, thank you very much, and not have to do the work for themselves. It becomes eminently stealable. Mm. Here's the idea, that when you have cooked meals sitting on the savannah, waiting for someone to steal them, as it were, then those who are vulnerable are the females because they're smaller, and those who are the bullies are the males who pinch it. So how does a female solve the problem? She needs a bond with a male. The male-female bond is a bond in which the female is giving food in order to pay for protection. It's kind of an original protection racket. The females are competing with each other to get the best males, because if they're with a wimp male, then he can't stop the other kids taking her food or the other males.
Yeah.
And it really matters, because you're hungry out there. You have to feed your children as well as you can. So how do they compete for the best males? With sex. That's the point at which the females developed all of their suite of sexual appeal and started mating, not just throughout the cycle, but shortly after birth until the next baby several years in advance. So there's quite a lot of morphological evidence from the fossils that supports this concept. And what it would mean is that we have to rethink male-female relations not to be this mythical cooperation, but to be full of tension, social tension, right from the beginning, with this awkward kind of exchange at the root of our complicated forms of sexual conflict.
It's also the roots of commerce, in some sense.
Of commerce?
Yeah, isn't it?
You mean among the males, or...?
Among in the society.
Because the males are controlling
the males are controlling it, but there also is presumably some trading back and forth between them, but particularly that trading relationship. I mean, essentially this is...
Goods for service.
Well, it's an abstraction, in a sense. You're going through that additional step where there's the notion of something that is worth, a secondary item that gets you what you want.
Yes, because, you don't have ownership in the same way until you get to
essentially you've got a currency.
Well, yes. It's what
proto-currency,
yes. Mm.
Richard Wrangham, you have given us a great deal about which to be excited as well about what to think. Thank you for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks for giving me a chance to share my passion.
We thank Dr. Richard Wrangham for sharing his insights with us, as he does in the books Chimpanzee Cultures and Demonic Males. We also thank Franz DeWall, director of Emory University's Living Links Center, for bringing Dr. Wrangham to Atlanta as part of their Origins Symposium. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.